So we're going to continue this morning in our Bible study, in our sermon series, The Easter Experience. This is a sermon series that we started all the way back in March. And the good news is if you're just starting to catch in here now and you're just been, and this is your first sermon, you can catch up on the story. All of the previous sermons are posted on our YouTube channel. You can go back and catch up on all of them to figure out how we got to this point. But we're kind of settling into the back part of this particular sermon series. And we all have days that we remember. For some of us, it would be the wedding day. That day when you and your spouse finally became one and you had that great big ceremony. Some of us will remember those fondly, and some of us will remember as the biggest stress day in our lives. Maybe it's the birth of your child. That's a day you'll remember. By the way, I get to be a proud dad for just a little minute here, just a second. Birth of a child. Today is my youngest son's birthday. He is turning 14 today, so I just wanted to take a moment. I know he is out there listening, and so I would just want to take a moment to say, happy birthday, Benjamin. We will celebrate when we get home. But the birth of your child is one of those days that you're going to remember for the rest of your life. Trust me, your kids will never let you forget it. Maybe the day that you remember is the death of a loved one. Maybe it's that day that you lost your mom, dad, sister, somebody. Steve is here on the drums this morning, and if you go to his house, he's got this wall of people that he's met, famous people that he's met throughout his life, and the thing is, maybe that's your day. Maybe it's the day you met somebody famous, and you remember that day. But most of our milestone days, they have something in common. They have the idea that a relationship was there. Either one was being formed, or one was being cemented, or one was being started. And well, on that day, usually for better or worse, that day is a day that, well, the relationship changed. For some, the day of the crucifixion will be a day that we are going to remember. Now, I'm not talking about as we remember it when we do communion, because we do celebrate communion, but I'm just talking about the fact that for some, physically, it was a day that everything changed because they came face to face with Jesus. They came face to face with who Jesus is. And so this morning, as part of our sermon, what we are going to do is we're going to look at three specific encounters that were made on the day of the crucifixion. Three various individuals that met Jesus, maybe for the very first time. For the very first time, they came face to face with the risen Lord. Well, actually, the Lord that was about to be crucified. We're not to the resurrection yet. They came face to face with him. And the first one that we're going to look at, well, it is a criminal that went free. Mark chapter 15, verse 7 says, a man called Barabbas was in prison with the insurrection who committed murder in the uprising. And so what had happened just before the crucifixion, there was some kind of rebellion that was put out into the city of Jerusalem. And they had rounded up the rebel rousers and the people that had incited it. And so as Barabbas woke up in his jail cell that morning, he knew it was going to be his last day here on earth. The demonstration, we'll call it that, it did not go well. Things got out of control. Somebody died. And well, the Roman government, they didn't look very fondly on these kind of events. As a matter of fact, they didn't call them demonstrations. They indeed called them rebellions. And so now he sits and he waits for the executioner that he knows is about to come. He hears the clanking of the boots coming down the hall. He maybe looks out the little window in his cell and he says, you know what? They've come early for him. He's now being shackled and let out. And I'm sure as he's going down the hall, unaware of what's going on, he's asking himself, is this the end? As he's thrust out into the sunlight, he squints as his eyes begin to adjust to the bright light that's now flashing before him. He's put up on a podium, pedestal, him on one side, and this other man, he's there. And well, the people in the crowd, they're being given a choice. And I'm sure as Barabbas stands there, he's looking out and saying, what a mockery of justice. What a political move to make to put me, a wanted murderer, next to whoever this man is. Surely they're going to choose him. This is just some political ploy. But then he begins to listen to the crowd. He begins to hear the voices. Which of the two do you want me to release to you? Asks the governor. And the crowd cries out. Barabbas, they answered. I'm sure as Barabbas is standing there, maybe he does a double take and makes sure he listened really well. Are they really saying Barabbas? Could it really be me? Could it be me that's going to get to go free? Maybe he looks over and he says, who is this man that they've put beside me? And so Barabbas, well, he gets to go free. You see, what happens is it says, then he being Pontius Pilate, released Barabbas to them, but he had Jesus flogged and handed over to be crucified. And I'm sure as this is all going on and they're releasing the cuffs from Barabbas and now he's free to go, he is now looking at himself and saying, what do I do with my newfound freedom? I mean, I had already filled out my will. I had already done the things that I needed to go. I had already said my goodbyes. And now I'm free. You see, I was destined to die, and now I'm free to live? I mean, realize what had just happened. He had just received a pardon from the Roman governor. That means all of his past crimes are forgiven. He's got a clean slate. I mean, he's not being paroled. There is no community service to do. Barabbas is free to go. Maybe in the back of his mind he says, do I dare stay and watch as this man is crucified in my place? That's one of the ironies, is Jesus was crucified on a borrowed cross. That cross had been hung for this man. Not for Jesus. Who is this man? And could he really be who he claims to be? I mean, Barabbas has been around for a while. I'm sure he's heard all about the stories. He had heard about the healings. He had heard about the claims. He had heard about the teachings. Barabbas had to know who Jesus was. But now he's standing there. And he's going to take my place. And I'm going to walk out of here a free man. Here's the thing. Barabbas' story ends right here. You don't find him anywhere else in Scripture. It doesn't tell us what he did with his freedom. We are left to fill in the rest. We have no indication whether he came to the cross. We have no indication if he ever thanked Jesus for taking his place. We have no indication whether he ever became a follower. But here's what we do know. He was the very first to receive mercy from Jesus' death. He was the very first person that ever got to hear the message of Christ and the fact that you are set free by my death. It is true that Barabbas was 100% given his freedom on that day. But here's the deal. His story ends. What he did with that freedom? Well, it's our key word for the day. He's undecided. He had a choice to make. And today as we are gathered around our screens and we're huddling close in homes and we're thinking about what does it mean to be a follower of Christ, I have to ask you, is this you? Are you here because of some weird twist of fate? Maybe you're not an avid churchgoer and you don't do church very well at all, but you know what? These times that we're in right now, they've got your attention. And you know what? You're just here. You're looking for answers. You want to know. And I have to wonder, is this you? You're not sure what you really think of all this Jesus stuff. After all, he was a guy that lived 2,000 years ago. What on earth could he know about 2020? We live in a country where we value freedom very, very much. But here's what we need to remember. our freedom gives us the ability to be accountable. Our freedom means that we are responsible to use it in a way that will bring honor and glory to our Savior. Our freedom was given to us, paid for us. It is true of our country. All the men and women who have given their lives to maintain freedom in the USA. And it is true of our freedom in Christ. It was not free. And so this morning, if you've gotten here, you know what? This isn't your usual place to stop. You're just here because, you know what? You saw the live stream, you clicked the link, and maybe something caught your attention, and so you decided to hang around, and now you're wondering, what do I do next? I'm undecided. We'll get there. Let's talk about the next man that Jesus met. It comes from Mark chapter 15, verse 21. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the follower of Alexander and Rufus, was passing on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. Simon's story is the essence of the video that I showed at the beginning of this service. The idea that he was there, and while he went from observing the story of Jesus to becoming a part of it. He went from that moment where he was just there to where now he has to deal with being part of the story. Now, Cyrene was a fairly large city in Libya in North America, in North Africa, and it had a significant Jewish population. And well, evidently, Simon had traveled all this way to Jerusalem to participate in the Passover feast. Now, this was a big deal. As a matter of fact, if you were Jewish, this was on your bucket list. This is one of those things that you just had to do before anything else happened. You wanted to make sure you celebrated Passover in Jerusalem. I know it's closed right now, but it would be the equation of kids, and when they see the advertisements for Disney World, Disney World is every place, is someplace that everybody wants to visit at some point in their life. Maybe he had saved for years. Maybe he had been dreaming of this one-day event. But on this Friday morning, he was there. And he was caught up in the pedestrian traffic. People had lined the streets not for a celebration parade. They had lined the streets for a crucifixion. As he watched, he witnessed a man called Jesus of Nazareth carrying a cross up to a hill on the outside of the city called Golgotha. Jesus had already been beaten and scourged and so severe that, well, most men might have died from it. He was beyond exhaustion, and as he began to carry the cross, he began to stumble. And I'm sure as Simon saw this, he was asking those questions that we heard in the song. Why today? Why now? He probably was thinking, when is this going to be over? And suddenly, everything changed for Simon. You see, the Roman soldiers had the authority to force any citizen into temporary service. So as Jesus stumbled beneath his cross, they looked out into the crowd and they picked Simon. And they told him, "You carry his cross." It wasn't something he intended to do. He had brought his sons along with him for the day out. He had brought his sons along on the trip. They were expecting a happy moment. And now, who's going to take care of my kids while I do this? Who's going to watch over them? But Simon is pressed into service, and now I'm sure he didn't want to be part of that. It was humiliating. It was a gruesome experience. But he didn't have an option. He absolutely, positively could not refuse what was being asked of him. And you know what? This close encounter with Jesus should have transformed Simon forever. And maybe it did. The Apostle Paul mentions in Romans a young man named Rufus that he says hi to. And maybe this is the son of Simon. But you want to know the truth? We have absolutely no idea what Simon did after the cross. What we do know is that, well, he got to look into the innocent eyes of Jesus up close and personal. Simon, he felt the blood of Jesus run off of the cross and onto his neck. Simon, Well, he literally lived out the verse that Jesus told us that we're going to have to pick up our cross and follow me. Simon literally had to pick up a cross and follow Jesus to Golgotha. Maybe in his exhausted voice, he heard a subtle whisper from Simon, from Jesus. Thank you, Simon. Thank you for doing this. And you know, that's where his story ends. He takes that cross up and hands it back over, and they nail Jesus to it. The song says he did, but we don't know. I wonder if he stayed and listened to Jesus pray from the cross that God will forgive the people that had done this to him. But we don't know. Because Simon's story absolutely ends here. Simon's story ends at the moment Jesus is being nailed to the cross. And I have to wonder, maybe this is you. You know, as this Easter experience has unfolded, we've been asking you to find your place in the story. And so we've been going character by character through the story of Easter, and now through the story of the crucifixion leading up to Easter. And now I have to ask you, is this you? Your parents never gave you a choice. You had to go to church when you were little, whether you wanted to or not. Dr. Tony Evans says that when he was a child, he had a drug problem. His parents drug him to church on Sunday morning. His parents drug him to church on Sunday night. And his parents drug him to church every single time the door was open. You were not given an option. You will go to church. In fact, I wonder if some of you are here today because you received a little pressure from somebody. You know, you got those emails from that annoying minister that kept telling you that the live stream was going to be happening this week and don't forget to come. And well, you're stuck at home anyway, so, you know, I'll just kind of sign in. But this really isn't my thing. Maybe you've got a family member out there. Maybe you've got a loved one out there. Maybe it's just a friend, and they just keep annoying you about this Jesus thing. So you come because you're forced. I wonder if it's possible that God has known you before you were born, and God understands this is the day. This is the day that you will encounter Jesus. And while I want to say God bless to the parents and the grandparents and the friends that seek to raise godly kids and reach out to their friends and their family and encourage them to come, here's what you need to know. You can't continue to be undecided. You can't continue to just come because somebody is making you come. Eventually, you have to decide. You have to make a choice. You have to get into what it means to be a Christian. You have to understand who the person of Jesus was, and you have to choose to follow. There's one more character that we want to stop and pay a little attention to. And we find his name in, we find his story in Mark chapter 15, verse 39. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard this cry and saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." This is one of those interesting stories because here is a man who was changed from a hostile skeptic to a humble believer. Now, yes, I put the word believer in quotes. We're going to talk about that particular idea in just a moment, what it is that he believed. But what you need to know is this centurion, this guy standing at the cross, he was the commander. He was the guy in charge of the Roman execution squad. We've already crossed their path twice. We crossed their path when they were rolling the dice at the base of the cross, and we crossed their path when they were, well, they were torturing Jesus. The Gospels tell us that the Roman soldiers brutalized Jesus. They spit on him. They beat him. They whipped him. They mocked him. And well, here's the thing. The centurion had done nothing to prevent that. He was the commanding officer. He could have looked at him and said, "Hey, take it easy on this guy." As a matter of fact, he's just here because of a political ploy. We don't even know that he's really guilty of anything. He could have made them go a little easy. You know, not only did he do nothing to prevent it, guess what? Presumable, he had been part of it. He took his licks like everybody else. maybe as he looked up and he saw this man that was dying, he noticed the bruise on the side of his face that was inflicted by his smack. Maybe he was one of those people that had tortured Jesus. He was one of those people that handed over the hammer that would nail Jesus to the cross. This was a man that started the day in a very different place than when he ended. You see, but as he watched, something changed. Something happened to him. Something became different for this man. He had to ask the question, what was so different about Jesus? What was it that changes my mind? What is it that can take me from being a hardened skeptic to a humble believer? Maybe it was the composure of Jesus. I mean, after all, he was falsely accused and violently beaten, and he kept his cool and his composure. The centurion may have been present as a guard when Pilate was interviewing Jesus or trying Jesus, and when he saw how Jesus answered Pilate, he refused. The centurion might have been part of the little army there when they were doing the Sanhedrin trial. So he had already watched how they had hit Jesus and beat Jesus, but Jesus refused to lose it. He refused to strike back. Maybe what he saw was the meekness of Jesus. I mean, Jesus claimed to be the Son of God. Jesus claimed to be this person that had power. He sure the centurion had heard the stories out there, how Jesus had healed the sick, how he had made the lame walk. Maybe he'd even heard the rumors that this man fed 5,000 people with just a little bit of bread and a few small fish. Maybe he had heard the rumblings that this man calmed the storm and walked on water. Surely a man with such power doesn't have to put up with this. I mean, he even said, I could call down angels and put a stop to this. Why don't you? What's different with you? If you have all of this power, why aren't you using it? Maybe as he looked at this Jesus that was hanging on the cross, he began to think, something's weird with this guy. I mean, does he not get it? He's going to die. But then he continues to listen and he continues to watch. And maybe it was the miracles. In the middle of the day, as Jesus hangs on the cross, the sky turns black. The ground begins to tremble. The dead people from the graveyard began to come up from the tombs, and they're walking amongst the city. The heavy temple, the heavy veil that's sitting there in the temple, it tears from top to bottom. And as the centurion sits there, you know what? Something's different about this. I've been to thousands of these crucifixions. I've nailed lots of people to a cross. I've beat many a prisoner. But you know what? I've never had this before. This is quite different. Nature itself is crying out as this man gives his life. As Jesus says those words, it is finished. A lot of times we see those words as something that we cry out in defeat. It's finished. It's done. The game is over. I missed the last shot. The clock is at 0-0. It is done. You understand that the phrase that Jesus used, it finished, is a military term. Usually put out by generals who've won their battle. They are declaring victory. And as the soldier sat there and he listened and he thought and he looked at all of these things, he said, victory? He's about to die. And how about that death? After witnessing these things, the Roman soldiers understood what the religious leaders had missed. I mean, Jesus told them, didn't he? I'm the Son of God. Jesus told them, I am the Messiah. Jesus told them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus, well, this man believed what the crowd refused to accept. This man believed that Jesus was exactly who he said he was. He was confronted with life's ultimate question, and well, he comes to a conclusion. Surely this man is the Son of God. Now, this is where that word belief comes in, because after that quote, guess what? This man's story ends. We don't know how much farther he went with that understanding. We know there's more that needs to happen, because James tells us in James chapter 2, verse 19, you believe that there is one God? Good! Even the demons believe that and shudder. You see, this man got to the point that he believed. He believed that Jesus was a God. He believed that he was the Son of a God. Remember, we're in Roman times, and so this is a culture that they worship many gods. So just acknowledging that Jesus was yet one amongst many, that's not enough. Just acknowledging that he was a man that had some kind of great power, that wasn't enough. The question becomes is, what did he do next? Did he take that next step? Did he listen to those words that Jesus said as he prayed for forgiveness for those that were crucifying him and say, you know what? That's a prayer for me. This isn't a time for me to be just flippant about, hey, look, I found another God. This is a time for me to make another decision. But unfortunately, as this story ends, this man, he's undecided. We don't know what he did next, because his story just kind of fades off to black. It transitions into nothingness. And I wonder, have you found yourself? Are you the skeptic in the crowd? Maybe all of this Jesus stuff seems like a fairy tale to you. Maybe it's something that was put in some best-selling novel that was passed down through the centuries. Sure, Jesus may have physically lived long ago, but history tells us it's just a religious person. I mean, there's lots of those in the world, lots of those in our history. And as you sit here and observe the cross, let me ask you anew, are you ready to decide to go to the next step? Are you ready to get to the point where you don't just believe that he was a God, to where he believes he is the one and only God? You know, in this Easter experience, eventually you have to decide. Eventually, you have to look at the facts. Eventually, you have to look at the things that are going on. Eventually, you have to examine the story. Eventually, it's all up to you. Nobody can decide for you. It's your choice. It's your decision. The question is what will you decide? These three men, we don't know what they decided. We don't know what they did. As a matter of fact, we will never know this side of heaven. We will never know, did they do something more with Jesus than just have an encounter? Just have an experience? Or did they do something unthinkable? Did they do something that would change life forever for them? Take the gifts that they have been given, the freedoms, the experiences, the revelations, and then they turn them over to Christ. Today, as we sit here, again, huddled in our homes, wherever you happen to be tuned in, maybe you're at work and you're on break right now. This is, you took your lunch break or dinner break at this point, and you're just kind of hanging here. Here's what I need you to know. These three men, their story has been written. Yours has just begun. Today, you are listening to the sound of my voice, and you have a decision to make. What will you do with Jesus? It's the most important decision you will ever make. Are you going to just be the skeptic and dismiss him? Will you just be the helper and help him and move on? Will you be the person that gets set free and walk away? Or will you turn your life over to him? We are going to close our service with a time of music. I'd like to ask you to ponder the thoughts that we've given you here today. Ponder the idea of what would you do with Jesus. If you have questions and comments, I gave you the number here at the church that you can reach us during the week. I'll be happy to answer any questions or concerns, pray with you, whatever you need done. But I encourage you today, decide what you will do with this Jesus. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing. Dear Heavenly Father, we acknowledge that we don't know everything, God. We acknowledge that sometimes we have difficulty making decisions about you. But Lord, you demand that we make a decision. And in our absence of a decision, we've made one. Because if we choose not to follow, then we have chosen not to follow. So God, I pray that you will be with those that are listening to my voice right now, that you will impress upon them, Lord, not to let their story end as these men did, undecided. I pray that you'll help us to grasp hold to the sacrifice that you made and experience Easter anew and give our lives to you. Lord, we thank you for this day. I thank you for those that have tuned in to listen to your word and worship. We pray all this in your name. Amen.